false teachers of prosperity and word of faith. Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning. Good morning. And it is indeed a good morning because God is faithful in every circumstance, be it difficult times and suffering or good times and prosperity. God is always faithful. And the question to ask today as we look at these false teachers of prosperity, these false teachers as they are known as the word of faith teachers, is, are we content with what we have? And the question they raise with their false teachings is, should we be content with what we have? They say no. They say no, we should not be content with how much financial and material prosperity we have. We should not be content with suffering and difficulty. To them, these things are un-Christian to be satisfied with what we have. We should always, according to these teachers, be seeking more. And not only should we seek more, but we deserve more as Christians from God. This is what they teach. So what does the Word of God have to say about this teaching that we should all be rich and healthy if we are trusting in Christ? First, we'll start with the same verses that we started with last time when we talked about the false teachers of salvation by works. You can look back at the sermon from last week. Even though we had video problems, the audio is still there on the live stream, and you can listen to that about those types of false teachers. Today, let's look at this type of false teacher. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15-20, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing," so they come under the guise of a Christian gospel, a Christian message. They themselves say they are Christians. All these false teachers, no matter what it is they're teaching, they say they are a Christian, and they say that the people who believe the things they teach are Christians. But Jesus said, "But even though they come to you in sheep's clothing, inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." So there's something about the fruit of their teaching and what that teaching leads to in the life of the people who believe it, that you will recognize them for who they are. But that requires discernment, and that requires knowing what the scripture says about their teaching. Jesus said, "Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree, every true gospel, bears good fruit, but the diseased tree, the false teaching, bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And this fire is the fire of hell. And he's talking about the tree, which is the teacher, and those who believe in their teaching. Their teaching does not lead to salvation, but leads to eternal destruction. Jesus says, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. In prosperity and word of faith teaching, the message of the true gospel is obscured by the message that those who believe are promised financial blessing and freedom from sickness. Those who listen to this false teaching are told that if they are not getting richer and healthier, then their faith is not strong enough or even is not at all sincere. Greed and desire for comfort in this life are preyed upon and encouraged by these false teachers. Those who struggle materially and with health issues are often victims of this message because they want so badly to be healthy and rich, because they're not. And these are the ones who most often listen to these false teachers. Although Jesus Christ is mentioned by these preachers, true faith in him and contentment with his glory and work for the salvation of the believer are either downplayed or removed altogether from the false gospel of prosperity and word of faith teachers. These false teachers have been around since the inception of the church in the first century and continue to proclaim their false teachings today. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, this teaching is very sneaky, Father. It's very deceitful, Father, for they promise salvation in Christ and often teach some of the doctrines and teachings of the Bible as part of their message. Oftentimes, these teachers will have churches where they make beautiful music and say worshipful things in their music. Father, music is something used by the prosperity and word of faith movement as a tool often to promote their false message, Father. But if you look and examine the message that they are teaching that money and health are the glory of God for the people who say they follow him, Father. Money and health are the goal of the Christian life for these false teachers. Let us look at what Paul and Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, Father, both taught about prosperity and word of faith teachers, Father, who teach that godliness, teach that Christianity is a means of gain, Father. Let us see this and reject it and avoid it, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, 2-4. Paul writing to Timothy, the pastor. Timothy gave him instruction about how to deal with these false teachers that were influencing the church in the first century. The Word of God says, teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine, doctrine meaning teaching, a doctrine is a teaching. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he, this false teacher, is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Point number one. Paul commanded Timothy to teach the things that he instructed. If anyone teaches something different from the apostles' teaching in the Bible, they're a false teacher who is both arrogant and ignorant, Paul says. Point number one. Paul commanded Timothy to teach the things that he instructed. If anyone teaches something different from the apostles' teaching in the Bible, they are a false teacher who is both arrogant and ignorant. Arrogant they are, because they think they know better than Jesus and the apostles, who are the foundation of our faith, what they teach in the Word of God. And ignorant, because they understand nothing. They don't absorb anything that Jesus and the apostles are teaching, even though they claim to, even though they say similar things sometimes. They don't understand the root of the gospel message. When they teach discontentment, they don't understand that the whole point of being in Christ is to be content in him, with what he offers, his glory. So to be discontent and seek all sorts of other things as a Christian and be greedy for those things is the opposite of what the Christian life is all about. 1 Timothy 6, verses 4 and 5. He, this false teacher, has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words. They twist the words of Scripture. They use Scripture and they try to say that the very thing that it's not saying is what it is saying, they teach. So they use Scripture all the time, especially prosperity and word of faith teachers. But they quarrel about what the words themselves mean so that they can twist it to mean what they want it to mean, so that they themselves can be rich and have a lot of possessions and claim that they deserve these possessions, and that the people they teach, who they take the money from, the people they teach should also desire and seek these riches and health. These quarrels about words produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth. So not only are they depraved in mind as they seek these riches and health above Christ, but they've been deprived of the truth. These false teachers are leading them astray, and they're not getting the truth which they need from the Word of God. And what do these false teachers ultimately teach? They imagine that godliness, that Christianity, is a means of gain. That by being a Christian, it's a means, a way that you can get rich and more healthy. Point number two. False teachers desire controversy in the church and argue with the Word of God. All false teachers do, but false teachers in this area do too. The fruit of their teaching is many sinful actions, depraved thinking, and false beliefs. The heart of these evil thoughts is that Christianity can be a means of gain. The emphasis of these false teachers is discontentment with what God has given us. Point number two. False teachers desire controversy in the church and argue with the Word of God. The fruit of their teaching is many sinful actions, depraved thinking, and false beliefs. The heart of these evil thoughts is that Christianity can be a means of gain. The emphasis of these false teachers is discontentment with what God has given us. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain, the Apostle Paul says. For we brought nothing into the world. We didn't. When we were born, we didn't bring riches and health and prosperity into the world when we were born. And Paul says, and we cannot take anything out of the world. So no matter what we amass here materially, and no matter how much good health we may or may not have, we can't take it out of the world. And not only can't we take these material blessings out of the world, ultimately, when we die, we won't have health. Because we'll be unhealthy when we die. Whether, even if that's a car accident, there will be unhealthiness in those final moments. The health won't last, even if we have it. Paul teaches, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. That is the message that Christ brought. Be content with me, Jesus says, and expect that there might be times when you might not have more than you absolutely need. In this case, some food and something to wear. Point number three. Instead, true Christianity leads to a great contentment in what God has given us. True teachers of God's word know that when we are born, we start with nothing, and when we die, nothing comes with us. If we have enough to survive, then we can be content and be thankful to God. This is the opposite of what these false teachers of prosperity and word of faith teach. Point number three. Instead, true Christianity leads to a great contentment in what God has given us. True teachers of God's word know that when we are born, we start with nothing, and when we die, nothing comes with us. If we have enough to survive, then we can be content and be thankful to God. This is the opposite of what these false teachers of prosperity and word of faith teach. Look at Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, where Paul spoke of his own life. He said, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Paul had no sense that he needed to have more than what God had given him. He was content in what he had, and he knew that he needed nothing more, truly, because he had Jesus, he has Christ. So what else could he need? He said, "I know how to be brought low," he said. I know how to be poor and sick and suffering. And he said, "Then I know how to abound." He had experienced at times great prosperity in his life, but he was willing to do either in service of Christ. He said, "In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need." So he says he's faced hunger and need, and he's faced situations where he had plenty and abundance. But he knew a secret to facing whatever circumstance God gave him with contentment. And oftentimes, Philippians 4:13 can be misunderstood and misinterpreted. So what he's saying, I can do all things, whether that be being rich, being poor, being hungry, being needful, whatever the situation is, I can do all of these situations, all things that I need to do for Christ, through Christ who strengthens me. He can do whatever it is Christ needs him to do. He has the power to be content in every situation. That is what he's saying. Christ strengthens him in his contentment in every situation. Point number 4. Paul knew that contentment was at the heart of the Christian life. He often suffered both health issues and poverty. Other times he might receive great provision from the Lord. But in whatever circumstances God gave him, he gloried in Christ alone. Point number 4. Paul knew that contentment was at the heart of the Christian life. He often suffered both health issues and poverty. Other times he might receive great provision from the Lord. But in whatever circumstances God gave him, he gloried in Christ alone. In Christ alone. That was his glory. Not the riches, not the health, and not even the hunger and need and suffering. He gloried in Christ. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich, these false teachers, those who believe in their teachings, they fall into temptation, into a snare, a trap. This traps them from believing the true gospel, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Ruin and destruction. You would think that getting rich, if they do get rich through this teaching, would make them happy. And it may indeed have a temporary happiness with these things, but it ultimately plunges them into ruin and destruction. Point number five. But the teaching of these false teachers is that the Christian life is about health and riches. They teach that we should desire and that we are entitled to these blessings from God. Those who seek after these things instead of contentment in Christ will face ruin and destruction. These false teachers lead people away from Jesus Christ. Point number five. But the teaching of these false teachers is that the Christian life is about health and riches. They teach that we should desire and that we are entitled to these blessings from God. Those who seek after these things instead of contentment in Christ will face ruin and destruction. These false teachers lead people away from Christ and ultimately to hell, because without Christ, there is no salvation. 1 Timothy 6:10, our last verse in 1 Timothy. Because the love of money is a root or a foundation of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving, this desire for prosperity and health, that some have wandered away from the faith, left. So they weren't Christians, because true Christians will never lose their salvation, but there are some who thought they were Christians, even came to church, but wandered away, left the church, left the faith, and pierced themselves. Think, Jesus was pierced for us, but they're piercing themselves with these many pangs, these sorrows, these sufferings, these punishments from God in hell. Point number six, loving anything more than Jesus Christ is the root of many evil things. When desires for health and wealth take the place of God, discontentment drives us away from Jesus and ultimately leads to destruction. This false love is taught by prosperity and word of faith teachers, and it is a false gospel that will not save. Point number six. Loving anything more than Jesus Christ is the root of many evil things. Take that warning. It doesn't have to be money or health. That's what these teachers appeal to. But anything more than Jesus Christ, the love, is the root of evil. When desires for health and wealth take the place of God, discontentment drives us away from Jesus and ultimately leads to destruction. This false love is taught by prosperity and word of faith teachers, and it is a false gospel that will not save. That's what Paul taught about these teachers. But Jesus had some things to say as well. In Matthew 6, again, the Sermon on the Mount, like our original verse. Matthew 6, 19 through 20. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust destroy them, because you can't take them with you, right?" That's what Paul was saying. The moth and rust are going to destroy them when you die. they're going to not be taken with you. Where thieves break in and steal. People take them away. It can all be gone. It can all be stolen from you. The stock market could crash. Inflation could happen. The money might not be worth anything anymore. And the health itself, the treasure of health, that gets taken from many people all the time. Especially as you get older, you're going to have health issues. So you can't have it all the time. It's not really something that's worth keeping as a treasure. Jesus said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. If Jesus is your treasure, then you have treasures in heaven that will last forever and ever. And that is the Christian message, that Jesus is our treasure, not these things on this earth. Point number 7. Jesus taught that Christianity is not about seeking health, wealth, or other treasures here on earth. Jesus leads his followers to seek treasures in heaven that can never be taken away. Prosperity and health in this life are temporary and will not last. False teachers of prosperity and word of faith rob people of the true treasure of contentment in Christ himself. Point number 7. Jesus taught that Christianity is not about seeking health, wealth, or other treasures here on earth. Jesus leads his followers to seek treasures in heaven that can never be taken away. Prosperity and health in this life are temporary and will not last. False teachers of prosperity and word of faith rob people of true treasure of contentment in Christ himself. Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, very simply, this is one of the most quoted Bible verses that there are, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever you're treasuring, that's where your heart will be seeking. And when you're seeking riches and health, that's where your heart will be after those things. But Jesus offers us a better treasure in the gospel. Point number 8. Our hearts will be with what we treasure. True Christianity is about putting our treasure in Jesus and his eternal glory. It is about loving him above all else. Those who teach that following Christ is a means to physical blessings are ultimately sending people to hell. Point number 8. Our hearts will be with what we treasure. True Christianity is about putting our treasure in Jesus and his eternal glory. It is about loving him above all else. Those who teach that following Christ is a means to physical blessings are ultimately sending people to hell. Where should our treasure be? In Jesus Christ. What has he done so that he might be our treasure? The gospel. Jesus came to earth, he became a man, and he lived a perfect, righteous, holy life. He never sinned. Not only did he never sin, he went through all sorts of poverty and suffering and and lack of health at times. Because he was a man and he wanted to serve God and he wanted to give us an example so that he would not sin, he would not turn his gaze from his love for the Father and his love for the neighbor, his neighbor, the true intent of God's law, to love God above all else and to love your neighbor as yourself. He perfectly performed that through all the sufferings and difficulties that he faced. And if we trust in that perfect life of Jesus and what he has done, we receive his righteousness as our own. It is credited to us. It is given to us. It is imputed to us through faith in him. But then that wasn't enough, because we still had our sin and the judgment that we deserve for breaking God's law, because we have broken God's law. We have not followed him perfectly. We have not loved God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loved our neighbor as ourselves. So there was a punishment, eternal hell. Jesus went to the cross, and on that cross, he took the full wrath of God. He took that full punishment that we deserve. He took it in our place as long as we are trusting in him for it. And then he died. He died taking our sins. But that's not the end of it. He rose from the dead on the third day so that by trusting in him, we might be united with him, come together with him, be resurrected with him spiritually onto new life. That new life enables us to treasure him above riches, above health. And all true Christians will love Jesus Christ more than they love health and riches or anything else in this life. That is the gospel. That is the true gospel. That is not what these false teachers are teaching. Jesus went on in Matthew 6, 22 to 23. He said, "The eye is the lamp of the body." He's saying where your eye is, what you're looking at, is the guide for where your life will go, where your body will go. He said, so if your eye is healthy, meaning it's looking at the right things, in this case, Jesus Christ, then your whole body will be full of light. There will be salvation and truth and love for God and neighbor. But he says, but if your eye is bad, meaning your eye is focused on evil things or worthless things, he says your whole body will be full of darkness. He says, if then the light in you, meaning the soul, the person that you are, your heart, is darkness, how great is the darkness? Point number 9. If our eyes are focused on Jesus, we will desire him and be blessed with him as our reward. But if our eye is focused on the darkness of discontentment, then we will ultimately be left in darkness. The message of discontentment that the prosperity and word of faith teachers preach leads to eternal darkness. Point number 9. If our eyes are focused on Jesus, we will desire him and be blessed with him as our reward. But if our eye is focused on the darkness of discontentment, then we will ultimately be left in darkness. The message of discontentment that the prosperity and word of faith teachers preach leads to eternal darkness. It leads to hell. Matthew 6:24, our last verse in Matthew. Jesus said, no one. He's saying there's no one. Even him. No one. God too. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. He makes it clear what he's talking about. He said, you cannot serve God and at the same time serve money and material prosperity and health as well. You can't serve both. If you love God, then he will be your first priority and you will be content with him. Point number 10. Christians cannot serve a master other than Christ. These false teachers point people to do just that. This is a false Christianity. Christians must choose to serve God or serve material prosperity. One cannot serve both. Point number 10. Christians cannot serve a master other than Christ. These false teachers point people to do just that. This is a false Christianity. Christians must choose to serve God or serve material prosperity. One cannot serve both. So let's just look at one other thing. One other thing that prosperity and word of faith teachers teach, which is that the Christian should not suffer. If their faith is strong and they really are following Jesus, according to them, there should be no suffering in their life. And they impugn the motives of those who come to their churches, quote unquote. They say that the people who are facing suffering, their faith is not strong, or they're not faithful at all because they suffer. And this is despicable that they do this. Many people are shamed about their own suffering and wonder constantly, could they have done something to prevent this suffering? If only they had been faithful enough, if only they loved God enough, then this suffering would have gone away. This is not the teaching of the Bible. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 16 through 17, and it's said in many other places as well, but this is the example I chose. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit is saying that we are a Christian, that we are children of God, it says, and if children, then heirs. So they stop there. And they say, we're heirs, so we shouldn't have to suffer. We have everything in Christ, so he's going to give us riches, prosperity, health, blessing. But Paul goes on. He says, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, Paul says, provided, meaning we are heirs if we suffer with him. Suffer with Christ. That's how we know that we're truly a Christian. This is the testimony of the Holy Spirit, that we are suffering with Christ. This is part of the Christian life. We all must face suffering. If there's no suffering in your life, then there's no testimony here from the Holy Spirit. You need the suffering to show you that through the suffering, God is able to keep you faithful and trusting in Him through that suffering, so that you know Him. And Paul says, in order that, the purpose, the ultimate purpose for this suffering is that just as Christ suffered, we may also be glorified with Him when we share in His suffering. So when you teach that we're not supposed to suffer because we should be faithful enough to overcome all suffering in our life, that is directly contradictory to what the Word of God teaches in many places. Point number 11. If the Holy Spirit testifies that we are truly Christians, then we will suffer with Christ in this life. Our suffering is for a time, and then our true inheritance is in heaven. Prosperity and Word of Faith teachers deny that the Christian is meant to suffer, which contradicts the Word of God. Point number 11. If the Holy Spirit testifies that we are truly Christians, then we will suffer with Christ in this life. Our suffering is for a time in this life, and then our true inheritance is in heaven. Prosperity and Word of Faith teachers deny that the Christian is meant to suffer, which contradicts the Word of God. Last verse, last point. Romans 8:18. For I, Paul, consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So what is he saying? I'm content with the sufferings. I'm happy to have them because they're not worth comparing with the glory in heaven that we're going to receive. If these sufferings point to the fact that I'm a Christian and I'm going to receive this heavenly inheritance, then I consider these sufferings of the present time not even worth comparing with what's going to happen. I'm content even in these sufferings. That doesn't mean that he loved pain. The Apostle Paul did not enjoy the pain that he suffered. And we see in places that he prayed to God that God would relieve the suffering that he was under. But he knew and he was content with the fact that the sufferings he were having were normal for the Christian because they were pointing to this greater inheritance, this greater reality in heaven. So he was content in whatever circumstance came upon him. Point number 12. Our sufferings here in the present time are of value because of the great glory in the coming kingdom of Christ. These false teachers teach that suffering is antithetical to the gospel. Christ suffered greatly in his life here on earth, and every Christian will share in that. Paul himself experienced great suffering, and he taught that this was part of the Christian life. Point number 12. Our sufferings here in the present time are of value because of the great glory in the coming kingdom of Christ. These false teachers teach that suffering is antithetical. It's opposite, they say, to the gospel that the false gospel that they teach. Christ suffered greatly in his life here on earth, and every Christian will share in that suffering. Paul himself experienced great suffering, and he taught that this was part of the Christian life. So, application. I will not read them twice. It's all filled in on your sheet. Application point number one. The false teachers of the prosperity and word of faith movement are teaching that Christianity is just a means to health and wealth. They teach intense discontentment with what God has given us and teach that suffering is always a sign that a person is lacking faith. All these teachings are in direct contradiction to the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. They result in a different gospel, which cannot save. Do not believe the message of prosperity and word of faith teaching. Reject it. Don't believe it. Tell your friends who may be involved within it. Tell your family members. This is not true, what they are teaching. It is what they call heresy. It violates the gospel. And anyone who truly believes this message can't enter the kingdom of heaven if they're truly believing this instead of the true gospel. Point number two, application. There are many teachers, even today, who appeal to carnal desires like health and wealth, denying that the Christian life is one of suffering and faithfulness to Christ, no matter what our circumstances. Do not just simply reject their message, but also protect yourself, your family, your friends, your church, and others by not having anything to do with these false teachers. Avoid them. Or, as it could be translated in Romans 16:17, stay away from them. Romans 16:17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, these things are dangerous. Father, they are wrong. They are false. They are not the gospel. Father, no matter how many semi-true things that these teachers teach, no matter how they might use some Bible verses or have pretty worship songs, Father, they aren't leading people to Christ. And I pray that all of us will reject them, avoid them, and protect the people in our lives that we can. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. And we can be able to measure the teaching of those people, especially on the radio, TV, or internet, be able to hear gospels that are being preached. And we should take these in mind. So thank you for giving these instructions. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us that you give us, that you can be able to know that all things come from you, and knowing that when we come to you, and knowing that you are our Heavenly Father and only give good things, that we can be content in knowing that we have what we need. And so we thank you for your grace and your goodness and abundance that you've already given to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that the Apostle Paul, who who did not even have a regular home, he was most content wherever he was in being able to spread the gospel and knowing that he had friends and relatives who can be able to come to Christ, and knowing that all those who come to you really have a home, an eternal home, where we can be able to know that we can truly live. So thank you, Lord, for your goodness in all things. Help us, Lord, to be content and knowing that you have given us, who have been given much, we know that we can be able to give a little bit back, a little bit more back of what you've given us. So we thank you for your grace and being able to share things and the privilege to share of the goodness that you've shown to us. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, and not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, My hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him.